Hello, this is the podcast about combined transport. Any kind of transport for that matter, by rail, sea, river and road. This is what Ernest Chermansky and Jakub Jankiewicz will talk about with their guests.
Hello everybody, welcome to the podcast dedicated to the combined transport in the Baltic Sea region. Thank you very much for joining us. Our today guest is Nicolas Albrecht from the Cargo Beamer company from Germany. Hello Nicolas.
Hello Ernest. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us and taking our invitation. Could you introduce yourself shortly, what we are doing, what you are, what is your profile?
Yes, of course. So I represent the Cargo Beamer Group, which is a Leipzig-based technology and transport or intermodal transport provider. That is dedicated to, well, yes, the modal shift from road to rail in the cargo area. I'm one of three executive board members as the chief business development officer at Cargo Beamer, responsible for all our European, but also pan-European or outside European growth. And basically, what we as Cargo Beamer want to do, we have developed our own technology for rail cars and our own technology for terminal technology that basically allows any kind of road semi-trailer to be shifted onto rail efficiently, cost-effectively, and in our own terminals in an automated horizontal way.
Okay, so it's basically a horizontal technology for transshipment, which is actually not a common thing or not a popular technology, especially in the Baltic Sea region. Could you explain us a little bit what is the main issue or the key solution in the cargo beamer technology?
Yes, of course. Well, I think it's difficult to say that it's not a popular solution, because I think it's just a technology that basically has when compared to the rest of, you know, railway innovation, has been developed pretty recently. So obviously it's something that will take its time to position itself on the market, but then will have a very large market potential in my eyes.
Yeah, I didn't mean it directly only cargo beamer, but generally from the statistics that I met actually each day, there is actually 99.9% of vertical transshipment of containers or craneable semi-trailers in our region. Horizontal technology is very seldom. That's what I meant. Yeah,
and I think you raise a very valid and important point. So why is it that it is so seldom, that these horizontal technologies are so seldom? Well, there's few out there. There's few technologies that actually look at this. The problem that we all want to address with horizontal technologies is we want to make sure that every trailer or every, you know, road loading unit, so every kind of semi-trailer, craneable and non-craneable, and the majority of the market, way over 90%, happens to be non-craneable, has to be shifted onto rail. So has to have some way of entering the railway network, because I think most companies and from the political side, everybody believes in rail as being the, you know, one of the most viable and most, you know, ecologically sustainable alternatives to road transport. I think that is undisputed. So there have been some other technologies in the past, and there's some active mostly in France, for example. The problem is these horizontal technologies that exist, they provide an entry for all semi-trailers to use railway infrastructure, to use trains for transport of long haul. However, they don't really provide an effective or an efficient alternative to your regular, you know, combined transport transshipment facilities or terminals. And that is because they are mostly, you know, the loading technologies and unloading technologies used in such horizontal platforms are mostly sequential, meaning you have to, you know, a train comes in, you have to first unload every single trailer, then you have to load the entire train again, and it's mostly manual work. So you need, you know, crews, dedicated crews. Here and there, they, you know, some parts are somewhat partially automated, but the grand majority of the process is manual. And that leads to a situation in which it quickly requires a lot of CapEx or a lot of capital investments in, you know, terminal infrastructure to provide these horizontal transshipment facilities, to provide an entry point for all types of trailers, even the non-cranable trailers, into the railway network. So it's expensive. And you don't really have strategic benefits or comparative advantages over your regular crane or reach stacker terminals, because it is a lengthy process. Loading and unloading an entire train quickly takes you up to 3-4 hours, as it does in your regular, you know, conventional combined transport. So it is expensive, and then it's not very fast. So you don't, you know, really create any comparative advantage, and you have to invest quite a lot of money. That's what CargoBeamer is in our eyes very different. The CargoBeamer technology, the way it works is that a train comes in, and then using the CargoBeamer gate module technology, which is essentially modules that are built into the terminal infrastructure, they pretty much, together with our own CargoBeamer rail cars, allow for a process that loads and unloads an entire train at the same time. So the whole process is parallel. And the way it works is the rail cars have little walls that can open up on both sides. And there's a little basket inside that actually carries the semi-trailer, a refrigerated trailer, you know, curtain sider, whatever type of a trailer. And then this basket on the one side gets horizontally shifted out by using a shuffle steel structure that basically moves to the left, and that all happens, you know, with the press of a button on an iPad. So it's a completely digitalized and automated process. And while these incoming trailers get shifted out to one side, the left side, for example, the waiting trailers that want to depart have already been parked inside a similar basket, and they at the same time get shifted into these rail cars, and then the train is ready to leave again. So thereby, you do invest in terminal infrastructure, but you ensure that you have a process that significantly accelerates your transshipment capacities or your transshipment processes. So, you know, if the loading and unloading process, which doesn't require any people, it's done with an iPad and doesn't require a lot of time, only takes something like 20 minutes compared to the 3 to 4 hours, then, you know, your capacities in the terminal will be significantly advanced. And that way you have a significant comparative advantage over your classical combined transport or classical horizontal transshipment technologies. And that is where CargoBeamer is very different. So A, you provide a solution for the entire market, craneable, non-craneable, so everything that moves on the road, essentially. And B, you actually provide, you know, a viable, efficient, and cost-effective entry point into the railway network. And only with those two points in combination can you reach all these political targets of significantly shifting road transport onto rail. We are absolutely, as a company, convinced of that. And that is what CargoBeamer wants to do and is successfully doing already now.
Mm-hmm. How many terminals do you have already equipped with your technology?
Well, we actually, after running some pilot projects in the last years, we actually went and invested quite significantly in our first own terminal, which is in Calais in the north of France, on the other side of the English Channel, essentially, where we are actually starting our first regular train in 2 days. So this week, that's a fully functional, first fully functional CargoBeamer, dedicated CargoBeamer terminal. On top, what makes CargoBeamer a little different is the way our rail cars are built and designed. You know, we are an open system. So you don't have to have the CargoBeamer terminal infrastructure at either endpoint for us to run our trains, because our rail cars, they can allow non-craneable trailers to be using our rail cars even in conventional crane terminals or reach stacker terminals, given that we allow for a vertical process as well because of that little basket that we carry inside of the rail cars. So we've been operating trains successfully for the last 4 years, mainly between the Dutch-German border and northern Italy, going through Switzerland. And now we are starting our first regular connection that connects a third-party terminal with the first CargoBeamer terminal. The next two terminals are already being planned, so we hope to have an additional set of two terminals operational by the end of next year.
Mm-hmm. I heard you are planning to open, or you have already launched the service Duisburg-Poznań service. Am I right?
Yes, we launched that very recently in the last weeks. And that is, for example, that is a combined train that we're operating in combination with actually our strategic partner, Duisport. And that is connecting Duisburg and Poznan. We don't operate the entire train by ourselves. And that's a combination of regular twin pocket wagons and CargoBeamer rail cars. And there we are obviously using conventional vertical transshipment technologies.
Okay. And what would you tell us about experiences from the service, which ends in Poland and at the same time in the Baltic Sea region? Is it something with a perspective, or is this exceptional?
I personally think it has a lot of perspective, and it has a lot of very interesting potential. Everything that is, I mean, the Polish market is a massive market. And then obviously going further into the Baltic states, I think there is a lot of potential, especially for a company like ours that doesn't focus on your conventional combined transport. So it doesn't focus on containers and, you know, these typical craneable trailers that are more visible in Germany, more visible in Switzerland, for example, but focuses at, you know, the grand majority of your non-craneable trailers, which is what you have mostly in Poland and in the Baltic states. And we think the market volumes that are available should be shifted onto rail are very significant. It is, however, from an economic side, a difficult connection or a difficult task to, you know, to start these traffics or to start these train connections to Poland, for example, because you're just, you know, you're always competing with road transport in the field that we're looking at. And the balance of input costs, which is your rail production costs, when compared to road transport costs for your typical freight forwarders, is just not as favorable if you look towards the east of Europe than if you compare it, you know, with the classic combined transport corridors, which mostly go from north to south.
But from taking a look from the above, the EU transport policy obliges us to shift the cargo from road to rail and to waterborne transport with a certain percentage in the next future. Standing in the situation of selection of the technology or of the shape of the intermodal transport, what is the key challenge or key advantage of your technology for terminal operators? I mean, what kind of pros or advantages could you tell a potential terminal operator by developing the next one in the network? Because basically, Poland is a country with four times lower number of terminals when calculating per 1 million inhabitants or 400,000 square kilometers of the country surface comparing to Germany. And we are aware that Poland has to develop the network of new terminals, which is already pending because yearly two or three new terminals are appearing in our country. But what would you recommend to take into account, into analysis, for horizontal technologies instead of verticals?
I said it before, I think we have to be careful. You know, not all horizontal technologies are the same. I think the ones that have been visible on the market in recent years, I think they have a very serious technological deficit that does not really change the equation. So that's important. I think the cargo beamer technology here is very different. It's a horizontal technology, but more than being a horizontal technology, I think it's a parallel technology, where that technology that turns your loading and unloading process into a parallel process, which is very important for your capacity or your potential capacity of your transshipment or your hubs in a terminal, and it is an automated one. So that is a very different position. What I think the problem is, and I think the numbers you mentioned are very interesting and very, very important to look at. If you in Poland, there's few terminals or transshipment facilities, and obviously there's a goal to shift more road transport onto rail. Now, if you do that with your existing terminal infrastructure, and the terminals in an important industrial hub like Poznan, for example, are mostly running at full capacity already. So there's just no, available space in these terminals. And that's because it's a lengthy process, loading and unloading a train. Your typical terminal can't do much more. I mean, your typical crane, for example, can't do much more than 3-4 trains coming in and going out on a single day. And that just isn't sufficient because, a train, especially in Poland, runs at roughly 650 meters. So that's something like a 30 plus, 34, 36 loading units on a train. If you can do 4 to 6 trains on a day, on a daily basis, and you can only load 36 units at one point, I mean, just drive along your highways, you will see how many trailers or trucks you're passing. That will not make a sustainable difference in your goals to shift from road to rail. So you will need much more powerful, much more productive terminals. And what CargoBeamer does, or this automated parallel horizontal technology, allows you because of the much quicker transshipment process, to run up to 4 times the trains on a daily basis going in and out of such a terminal. So with actually a terminal that requires less space, because I think the CargoBeamer technology is very compact, you can run up to 4 times as many trains, and it obviously has less capital investment required. And if you look at that, looking at how you can find highly productive entry points into the railway network, then you have a much greater business potential and a much greater attractiveness to the market. Because you also have to look at your freight forwarders that are predominantly using road. I mean, road is pretty cheap, especially in Poland.
And flexible.
and exactly, that's the point.
Especially flexible, I mean, yeah, of course.
Exactly. It's very flexible and pretty predictable. If you say currently, most train operators that run trains between Germany and Poland, for example, in the intermodal field, they have something like one daily departure on both sides. That isn't that interesting. If a road freight forwarder has, one daily, it's like a passenger using a train. If you have one daily departure, it is not that interesting. Using your car to drive between these spaces gives you a lot more flexibility. And obviously, freight forwarders are transporting loading units for different industries, and different industries have different requirements in terms of, when they have their production processes, when they want their units delivered, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, and so on. So by having one daily train, for example, you're just not attractive to the market. If you can, however, ramp up your terminal capacities to something like 4 times the productivity, well, then that allows you on the same connection to not just run one train back and forth, but to do something like three daily departures into both connections. So you have a morning, a midday, and an afternoon train, as an example, which is what CargoBeamer wants to do. And then you obviously, you turn rail cargo transport into something that is much closer to your passenger rail transport. So you provide, attractive alternatives. And that way, with increased supply, I'm very sure you will have significantly better or stronger demand from the market, because your product that you're offering is just so much more productive or attractive.
Does it mean you are focusing more on short distances or medium distances, or then less for long distances? Or it's only the question of the frequency of trains?
It's a very good question. So I think the beginning for us, given that we're starting to build our network, we're obviously focusing at medium distance and longer, where obviously rail has the more, you know, structural benefits over road transport in terms of time and so on. So over 500 kilometers, roughly speaking. In the future, the moment we have more, you know, more rail cars and more terminals, then short distances that are typically unattractive for intermodal operators will become a lot more interesting, because the moment you can run very high frequency trains between two endpoints and the distances are, you know, even below 300 kilometers, then you can obviously lower your fixed costs significantly, and so on. You can become a lot more economically attractive, and these, you know, these short distances can become very important feeders into your bigger network. It's kind of, you know, like using your passenger trains or using an airplane that uses different hub systems to, you know, to connect into a bigger network. And that, I think, becomes a lot more interesting. But it's all, you know, it's all going into the same direction. You just have to, and we all as rail operators have to, and infrastructure providers obviously, have to make sure that rail has a significantly more attractive offering to the market than it currently has today. Because if that will not be changed, it will become very difficult to provide a serious alternative to road transport.
Okay, then you are expecting a new investment or some systems, firstly, to improve the efficiency of existing infrastructure?
Yes, well, I mean, our goal is to invest ourselves, right, and to build our own facilities that are more effective and more efficient. So, you know, without investing in these types of technologies, I don't think you will get very far.
And from the terminal perspective, is your solution, your technology, more dedicated for the specialized terminal only for horizontals, or have you also considered it as an option for existing one by modernizing or extension of a part of this of a given terminal as aided service capacity?
So what we do, CargoBeam is a modular technology. So, you know, we are very flexible. We can, in Calais, we built our own terminal. It was a complete greenfield project. That's our first terminal that I mentioned. We can, and we're very much looking at that for our future, you know, looking at existing terminals, infrastructure or terminals, where we can either modernize some, you know, unused facilities or spaces, or we can, you know, expand together and you know, add to the existing terminal infrastructure. Both of that obviously works. And the interesting thing about horizontal technologies like ours is that you can obviously build underneath, you know, existing crane infrastructure, for example. So it I think everything is potentially possible, and it really depends, you know, on what the terminal infrastructure, the terminal providers want to do. But there is a lot of potential in, you know, working together with existing terminals to figure out what we can do, where the CargoBeam technology can assist a terminal in its, you know, in its growth or in its expansion,
and to convince the clients to move more to semi trailers, yeah, instead of containers, because our region in a half, I would say, is running on containers, which are
I don't necessarily agree, because, you know, we don't want to, everybody who's using rail already, I think, is good. if people who are running containers because they want to run rail, that's absolutely fine. I think we it's not a competition, you know. We are never competing with vertical loading processes or with existing, you know,
yes,
railway operators. It's more we have to convince more road operators or more road freight forwarders to move onto rail. Because that market is so much bigger than everything that is already using rail. That's, you know, what you have to address. And that's where you get your modular shift that is also required, you know, from an ecological point of view to actually, sustainably reduce CO2 emissions. It doesn't help to shift between different modes of rail transport or rail loading units.
Okay, then you are expecting also to overtake road hauliers with chassis for containers?
We provide an option for them to use our rail cars as well. But, you know, I think for containers, there already is a decent a product on the market with your regular combined transport offering. So if, you know, certain we can do it with our technology, I think our focus more than containers will always be your regular non-craneable semi-trailers. We think this market, this untapped potential is massive of everything that is predominantly using road because it does not have a viable alternative on rail at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, take a look once again to the short distances you have mentioned. Your technology is allowing to be more efficient, economically efficient when comparing to road trucking.
Yeah, if you have our own terminal infrastructure at both endpoints, mm-hmm. then you can run high frequency trains that are very, you know, significantly cheaper in your terminal processes. So the handling cost in a terminal is significantly lower. And you can, you know, with the same inventory of rail cars, you can utilize these rail cars more efficiently. So your fixed costs just go down, your rental costs and so on. So it is possible to run, you know, high frequent short distance trains between two terminal points. If you don't have your horizontal terminal infrastructure and it takes you, you know, the hours it takes you to turn around a train in a vertical or in a terminal using vertical processes, then it will become very difficult to be competitive versus you know your road prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you want to deliver a service consisting of 3 daily departures, so 3 pairs of trains, it means a sufficient cargo should be there. Have you considered any special relations, or do you indicate any special conditions which should be on the market in the special dedicated or given corridor, trade corridor, which is the minimum level for implementing your idea?
I don't quite follow your question.
Okay. In other words, to ensure sufficient cargo for 3 departures a day of a train in the cargo beamer technology. Have you indicated some concrete trade relations where your technology is best suited, or in your analysis it is not so important because on each road you have found sufficient cargo?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we have a number of dedicated trade relations, but we think if you're able to address, you know, all these non-craneable trailers, that mostly speaking, there's a market everywhere for these types of offerings. Obviously, some connections have better trade volumes, have more flows, have a better balance of inbound and outbound. But then, you know, you have to work on increasing your network effect. So that's why CargoBeamer wants to expand its network very, very rapidly, build terminals, you know, throughout Europe, because that way, you know, your feeders come into play. What I mentioned before is, you know, then you can look at short distances that feed into your bigger network and make sure that you always have, you know, significant or sufficient volumes on your relations. Obviously, you know, your relations, everything that is going from north to south between Germany or the blue banana region and northern Italy is of course highly interesting. That is a given. But I think, you know, connecting east and west, Germany and Poland, even the Baltics, there will always be sufficient volumes. They just need a proper attractive offering, you know, a proper product they can use to be able to use rail, which is currently missing. So it's a lot more about, you know, providing real supply. The demand will be there, and I'm very sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a quite important conclusion from the discussion. Okay, then let's move to the Polish experiences. Which kind of bottlenecks did you meet in the preparation phase for the Poznań-Duisburg service? And yeah, maybe more generally, how do you evaluate Polish market of combined transport? Of course, with regard to the horizontal technologies implementation.
Well, I think answering your second part of the question first, I think in your regular combined transport, it is not the easiest market to go into Poland. I mean, addressing, you know, containers and craneable units, because there I think it's a pretty imbalanced flow as well, and it is difficult to establish yourself, because you also have your typical bottlenecks that are important for combined transport. I mean, you have limited train length, which is I think limited to roughly 650 meters depending on the locomotive you use, which is less than what you can do in Germany, for example, where we can run 740 meter trains. I think there's a lot of improvements being done. Obviously, you know, you now have two electrified border crossings, which makes the processes more efficient and quicker. That is very important. And I think there have been a lot of improvements on the, you know, the availability or the offering in terms of railway undertakers on the market. So you don't just have your, you know, your state companies, but you also have a number of high quality private railway undertakers that can offer services. So that's, I think that is going in the right direction. There's a lot of improvements there. You do have a lot of infrastructure related problems, especially when going into Poland. There's a lot of construction sites reducing the availability of available gauges or tracks. So that makes it a little bit more difficult to get good fast connections. That significantly reduces your train speed, which makes your offering less attractive when compared to road. That is definitely what we see. I think the offering to shift road transport onto rail, and not just your typical combined transport operators or freight forwarding companies that use combined transport, but to address the rest of the market, that is something that just has been missing entirely up until now. And that is something that has a lot of potential and that needs to be focused on. So, you know, from a production side, I think things are going in the right direction. And now I think the market needs better offerings like the CargoBima offering that we started now and hopefully will expand in the future to actually, you know, provide more road haulage companies a viable option to enter the railway network.
Do you have any vision how to do it? Or more specified question, do you want to join this process as a CargoBima?
Yes, of course. So in our 3-5 year, 10 year plan, we definitely have goals and plans to expand further to the east, to build our own terminals in Poland, but also in the Baltic states, to, you know, address these problems that I mentioned previously, to help be part of the solution and help provide a better offering for road transport. So we clearly have plans for that. We would like to do it quicker and more aggressively now, but, you know, being a private company with financed by private individuals, you obviously have to prioritize how you invest your money and your capital. And the problem, definitely looking at the east, is that, you know, your returns take longer currently given your road prices. So given the balance of of rail-to-road prices, which I mentioned before, are just not that favorable when going to the east. And if you don't get any kind of support, and that's if that's on the EU level or national level or regional level, it will obviously become more difficult to establish your connections, your trade lanes going into the east quicker. You know, I think that would something that will hopefully change over time. But right now, you know, if you have a couple of million to invest, you'll probably look at with something, some technology that works the way that ours does, or in this field, you will probably look at, you know, investing that in an area where you have quicker returns, and that happens to be, you know, more in Central Europe and Western Europe, because your road to rail balance is just more favorable. And that is something that has to be addressed on top of, you know, your infrastructure shortages. So if you're limited to 650 or 660 meter trains, you know, you quickly lose a lot of margin, and you lose a lot of, you know, loading units that you can carry between point to point. And if it's, you know, 10% less length compared to trains that you run elsewhere, that in an industry that has, you know, a very close focus on the costs, that quickly becomes a very difficult scenario.
Mm-hmm. And have you received any EU funds? Nevertheless, in which country, generally, for developing your technology or for some in the investments in the practice, in the business, or not?
Yeah, I think we've received a number or used a number of buckets, or, you know, projects to help fund our business. That one is, I mean, we got a loan from the European Investment Bank. We've used funds from the Connecting Europe Facility, which is an EU project. We get, you know, obviously get subsidies on a national level depending on where we operate trains. You know, countries like Switzerland obviously have very interesting models. I think Switzerland generally is a country that is at the very a front runner in successfully shifting road transport to rail. I think there's a lot that Switzerland does very well that can be a blueprint for other countries. But we're obviously always looking at, you know, the different kind of funding opportunities. And I think there is some very interesting ones out there.
About Switzerland, I've heard many times that the only one country who fulfills the EU transport policy goals is the Switzerland. So very very nice joke, because Switzerland is not in the European Union, but is the only one, as you said, blueprint or the leader of the market when it comes to the cargo shifting from road to rail. Yeah, coming back to the EU funds, do you see any potentials for repeating the scheme of in the next future investment in Poland? Will you also base partly on EU funds, or will it be on the pure business scheme?
No, I think if you want to invest in a bigger terminal or in terminal infrastructure, you will have to look at getting some form of funding. And that is, I mean, there can be, you know, national level, it can be at the private level as well, obviously, if you look at joint ventures. But obviously getting EU funds would be very interesting. But I think it needs a bit more at the beginning, given, you know, where market prices are for road transport at this point. So you will need some support, not just in funding infrastructure. I think a lot is being done there, and that's something that will be interesting, but there has to be funding on the operational level as well. So, you know, funding or subsidizing rail operators to make sure that there's a better balance between road transport and rail transport costs. That I think is very important, as in the Swiss model that does both, right? That funds strategic infrastructure projects, but also the operational part of the business, and that I think is very important. But on the same time, you cannot just rely on on funding, on support, on subsidies, and on, you know, the political tailwind for what we do. We have to do our homework and have to make sure, you know, that with the technology that we use, we maximize or optimize our cost structure, reduce our unit cost as much as possible. And, you know, terminal handling costs just are a big component of your costs. And if you can, you know, do automated terminals that require a lot less manual work and can do more trains, can have higher capacity, your unit economics significantly improve right away. So that is also one of the very important steps in the right direction. And that's what we definitely will continue to look at.
Mm-hmm. Did you make a study or analysis to prioritize your investment in Poland? And finally, can you tell us some locations, if it's not top secret, of course, where you are considering to make analysis firstly, but finally to start an investment?
I think we've analyzed and we're still analyzing the Polish market in a lot of detail, both, you know, in terms of the volumes and the flows on the market, the development of road costs, but also in terms of available infrastructure. But that, you know, we're not just doing that in Poland, we're doing that everywhere. We're also doing that in the Baltic states, in Scandinavia, and in the rest of Central Europe. So that obviously is very important to our business that we do that. I think in Poland you have a number of interesting spots. Definitely Poznan, where we're running our trains into now, is obviously, looking at your industries, there is a very important location strategically. And then obviously if you look further south, and Gliwice or something like that obviously has a lot of potential as well.
And how about the potential cooperation with ferries and ferry lines, for example, in Gdańsk or Gdynia? Then it's a developing trend that we have observed for accompanying combined transport, when some of the semi-trailers are moved by ships from terminal to terminals at sea. And then someone has to take the load unit and move into the hinterland. Yeah,
yeah, that is always very interesting for us. And that's similar to what we obviously are doing in Calais now, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the north of France. So that, I mean, in the north of Poland, obviously, is a very interesting concept as well.
And what about other countries in the Baltic Sea region, in Baltic States, for example? Which kind of locations are most promising to you?
Well, I think I don't know if you've been following, but we've been running a number of test trains into Lithuania,
mm-hmm.
into Kaunas most recently. I think that is a very interesting market. Obviously, has a lot of, you know, big players on the freight forwarding side. And that is definitely a very interesting starting point. And then from there, obviously going further into all the way north into Estonia can become a viable option by rail at one point as well. Connecting Lithuania to Europe, to Central Europe, to Germany, for example, is always the product that we're very interested in. And we're very much looking at trying to, you know, figure out a way to establish this product in the market.
Isn't it competitive to the shipping lines?
It depends. You can do both, right? You can work together with the shipping lines and provide an option there, but you can also see whether you know, for some loading units, for some loading types, whether you can, you know, that potentially want a quicker option using rail, using the land connection. So I think it requires more, it's also a market that requires more offering, more supply. So I think it's not necessarily where you're competing with the shipping lines. It's just, you know,
mm-hmm.
still trying to compete with road.
Okay. And what about Sweden? Do you see any potential in this country?
Yes, very much, of course.
In which relations, or for which city centers, for which transport nodes?
Well, of course, I mean, Sweden one point is you know, providing an option for the unaccompanied transports, or even, you know, providing an unaccompanied option for currently accompanied transports that come from Sweden using the ferries. That is very interesting. And then, you know, connecting with different points in Central Europe or even Eastern Europe. That is very interesting. And then within Sweden, I think there's a lot of potential. I mean, going into, you know, the bigger industrial areas, and I don't necessarily want to mention them by name, but there's a lot of interesting things in Sweden and Norway as well.
Mm-hmm. And when regarding Finland?
Yeah, Finland, well, same. I mean, connecting, you know, the Ro-Ro ports that receive the Finnish ferries, I think that is definitely interesting. In Finland, we haven't looked at, that's a market we haven't looked into in that much detail yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Nicolas. I think we get a sufficient picture of your technology and for the potential implementation gains coming from your solution. I would like to thank you for taking our invitation for the discussion. And so, see you soon in the Baltic Sea region more widely, starting from Poznań to other cities in Poland and in other countries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ernest.
Thank you for tuning in. More conversations about combined transport are coming. The podcast is a part of the Combine project, which is co-financed by the European Regional Development Fund in the framework of the Interreg Baltic Sea Region 2014 to 2020.